Hebrews chapter 9. Then truly the first covenant also had ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made, the first, in which was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle that is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the gold-plated ark of the covenant, in which was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, about which we can't now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second, the high priest went by himself once every year, not without blood, that he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made clear, while the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertains to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and various washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, having become a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, make them holy, purifying the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this purpose he is the mediator of the New Testament, so that by means of death, for the redemption of the sins that were under the First Testament, those who are called would receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must necessarily also be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator lives. And so, the first testament wasn't dedicated without blood either. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and red wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament that God has commanded you." Also he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the containers of the ministry. And by the law, almost all things are purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ hasn't entered into the holy places made by hands, which are the likenesses of the true, but into heaven itself, not now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed to men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to carry the sins of many, and to those who look for him, he'll appear the second time without sin for salvation.